Okay, session five, New Covenant Truths for the Day. Well, what's in this for me? Where am I in all of this grand scheme of things? This is what we're going to ask for this last session. We've been speaking a lot about somebody else, haven't we? We've been speaking a lot about the nation of Israel. As a young fellow, I learned some good Bible interpretation principles, and one that I always pass on to my students or those that I'm speaking to is this: all the Bible is for us, but not all the Bible is about us. All the Bible is for us, but not all the Bible is about us. And we've seen that this morning. We find that the nation of Israel has a prominent place in the plan of God and in the Scriptures. And we always ask the question, who is being addressed here in this passage of Scripture? And when we identify that, we're able to keep a balance in the interpretation of Scripture. All of the Bible is for us. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. All of that is for us. God has given it to us. But when we read the pages, we might not be reading about ourselves. I'll tell you what you'll be reading about. You'll be reading about the Jew, the nation of Israel. You'll be reading about the nations of the world. And you'll be reading about the Church of God. 1 Corinthians 10:22. It says, the Jew, the Gentiles, the Church of God. You have to identify the addressee. Who is being addressed? Now that's what we're going to do in this last one. We're going to make sure that we can enjoy and participate in the blessings that we've been speaking about and not push them off down to the eschaton and for an eschatological interpretation. But we can participate in the blessings that have come and do come to us in the new covenant through the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious blood. New covenant truths for today. Now you should be on page 10 of your notes. Is that okay, page 10? Which is session 5. This is the final session for our time. New covenant truths for today and review. No, you're not going to get away with it easily. You're going to have to answer some questions now. Or a little later on. Okay, we've got to tap that mind and heart of yours about what we've been saying today. Yeah. One time with my students in college, I gave them all the answers. I said, now you write down the question. Of course, they had to know the work. Okay, they had to write some sort of a question. And then I said, answer it. Explain it. Explain what it's all about. So if I gave you a question, and the question is, what's the 70 weeks? The answer is, the 70 weeks of Daniel. Write the question, start talking about it. That's an interesting way of doing exams, okay? But we've got some questions here. We're just going to ask a few of them just as a review in just a moment. I've had a change of heart, and I'm going to start on point 2 on page 10 called Spiritual Blessings for the Church and the New Testament Believer. Now, we know some of these, do we not? We've looked at this in Jeremiah 31, and we find them also in Hebrews chapter 8. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8, if you wouldn't mind, please. Hebrews chapter 8. And that section on the New Covenant. Now, I have a Bible that has the quotation from the book of Jeremiah in italics. Does anyone... The words are on the side. The letters are switched up on the side. Anyone have that? That's a new... The New King James Version does that, and it's very, very helpful. You immediately see a quotation from the Old Testament. So it starts off in verse 8, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, and so on. And then this large quotation, the largest from the Old in the New, is found there, yes. Now in that, and we have mentioned this, but we need to go over it again and emphasize it. There comes an intimate knowledge of God, Hebrews 8:11. And this is a very, very precious thing of knowing the Lord. Very precious thing. They will know me. They will not know about me, as we say in evangelistic circles. You may know about God. You may know about Jesus, but do you know Him? Do you have that intimate relationship with Him? Are you one of those people that are spontaneously able to cry out, Abba, Father? Did you read that book, I Dare to Call Him Father? The testimony of a Muslim lady. That's the intimacy, you see. And that knowledge. And of course, we're seeing here, originally going back to the roots, we're seeing that the whole nation of Israel is going to come into that spiritual situation and conversion under the conditions of the new covenant. What a day that will be. The Apostle Paul calls it in Romans 11 a resurrection from the dead that will affect the whole of the world. The ripples will go out, the glory and knowledge of God in those wonderful days. Never good to turn on the television and see something true and good. Yeah. I think we'll have something better than television when the Lord comes back. Perhaps a better medium. I just don't know how it will be. But I'm sure the news is going to get around very, very quickly in some way. Someone might like to have a think about that and talk to me about it. Yeah. So in point two, not only is there an intimate knowledge of God, but also there is forgiveness of sin. Are you rejoicing in forgiveness of sins today? The guilt has gone. The weight has lifted. The slavery has been broken. Hallelujah. That's all wrapped up in the power of the new covenant arrangement. All there in Hebrews chapter 8. Written to, originally, to Jewish believers. Not to tell them that they now, the church, take over the promises from Israel. But as the church and the Jewish remnant, they now enjoy that blessing. Because just a few years previously, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah of Israel, shed His blood on the cross. A few more words about that in just a moment. And not only forgiveness of sins, but the engraving of Torah, God's law on human hearts, in a most unique way in Hebrews 8:10. And I've said, see covenant diagram on page 16. This is what we're looking at, better covenant, better promises. This also is what we are going to have a look at today. Just got this main heading up here regarding what we're going to look at. New covenant truths, spiritual blessings for the believer, spiritual connections to the covenants of promise. They're here in the notes. But this is what we're talking about. And this will be found on page, this is for your convenience if you'd like to have a look at it later. On page 16 you will see that diagram. If you can't read that diagram, once again, go and see the optometrist on Monday. We've got two mountains here. We've got Mount Sinai and Mount Calvary. And we've got an arrow going right across the screen. And that arrow is from eternity past through time to eternity future. And what it represents is God's eternal moral law, the character of God. Would God steal from you? No, He would not. Is God into murder? No, He's not. It's the character of God. His eternal moral law comes out from eternity, comes into time, and goes on out into the future. His character, His standard. Would you like a Bible phrase for it? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glorious standard of God. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and continually fall short of the glory of God. What glory? The glorious standard That is God Himself. Everyone falls short of that. That's why we're sinners, and that's why we need the Saviour and an imputed righteousness, a righteousness counted to us, because we could never fulfill all that righteousness, even with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So we're even still imperfect, even though the Holy Spirit comes with great power and transforms. And on Mount Sinai, we find that there is a difference. A big change takes place at Calvary. All before that is the Old Covenant, the Old Covenant arrangements, the law of Moses made with their fathers, the nation of Israel, on stone. Jeremiah 31:32, and there it is.